Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking, a pretty harsh look at a nation that has long symbolized peak industrial efficiency.
Germany.
Germany. The analysis we're unpacking today is blunt, it's uncomfortable, and it really centers on a question a lot of people are starting to ask.
Which is, has the world champion stopped training?
Exactly. The source material uses this really powerful central metaphor. Germany is acting like a retired world champion. I mean, they've got the immense wealth, the trophies are still sparkling in the cabinet, and the self-image is, well, it's heroic.
But, and this is the key, they're stuck replaying their own historical highlight reel.
While the rest of the world has already moved on.
Aggressively training for the next global tournament.
That analogy is so central to understanding this crisis because it isn't about, a lack of resources. It's about mindset.
Right. Our mission here is to really distill the core reasons laid out in this analysis for why a major global economy is, well, experiencing such profound stagnation. We're trying to move past the usual political squabbles and look at the internal diseases causing this decline.
And specifically that uncomfortable truth that Germany still genuinely believes it's leading, even as competitors in North America and Asia just sprint ahead.
Yeah, that's the disconnect.
So let's unpack that psychological shift, because it seems to have fundamentally changed how the country operates. The analysis identifies this profound change in national identity.
A huge one.
Germany was once the undisputed engineering nation. Now, the source material argues, it has become something very different, a regulation nation.
And that transition from engineering to regulation, that is the root of the economic problem. Decades ago, Germany exported tangible things.
Right. Efficient machines, industrial processes.
Exactly. Productivity models. Today, the observation is that the country is exporting and imposing internally something far less productive.
Which
an excess of rules, a high degree of moral instruction, and what the source calls a debilitating process fetishism.
And the practical consequence of that focus on process is that absolute safety and compliance. They've been prioritized way above speed and scale.
Which are the two critical factors for winning in the modern tech race.
So can you give us a sense of what this process fetishism looks like on the ground?
It looks like paralysis. I mean, consider infrastructure. In high-growth competitors, complex projects, say, a new section of high-speed rail or even just a major bridge, they get permitted and built in maybe 5 years. The sources note that in Germany, the permitting process alone can take well over a decade.
Ooh, decade.
Sometimes more than 15 years. And it's because every single possible risk and every local objection has to be addressed to the point of absolute perfection before a single shovel can hit the dirt.
So the pursuit of zero friction guarantees maximum inertia.
That's it. That's a crippling competitive disadvantage right there. It completely changes the nature of the questions being asked inside the national conversation.
It has to.
It absolutely does. When we look at global competitors, whether it's the, aggressive scaling of the U.S., the centralized planning of China, or the high-speed digitization in parts of Eastern Europe, their internal questions are framed around momentum.
How fast can we innovate?
Right. How quickly can we scale this technology? How do we dominate the next technological wave? Be it quantum or synthetic biology.
And according to this analysis, the questions being asked within German institutions today are totally different. They're focused inward.
Completely. They're asking, is this compliant? Is it totally risk-free?
Have we ticked every possible moral or social checkbox before we proceed?
Precisely. And that fundamentally inverts the innovation model. I mean, innovation without friction just it doesn't exist.
Of course not.
Other countries, they prototype, launch, iterate quickly, and then they adjust the regulatory framework later if they need to. Germany tries to engineer a risk-free, morally sanitized world first.
And the result is nothing happens at all.
Nothing happens. The obsession with preventing the single mistake means they miss out on the thousand successful experiments.
Okay, so if that regulatory mindset is paralyzing the domestic environment, we need to look at where the national energy is actually going, because this is where the global gap becomes, well, really visible.
It's stark.
The analysis draws a very sharp contrast between where major world powers are investing and where Germany is currently placing its focus.
When you track the capital and political energy of the U.S., China, or even Japan, we're building the physical and digital infrastructure of the future.
Right.
We're talking massive coordinated spending on developing national AI ecosystems, creating resilient and modern energy grids. And not just renewables, but the grid management systems.
The whole package.
The whole thing. advanced robotics, and critically, pouring billions into securing supply chains for things like semiconductor fabrication plants. They are focused on tangible 21st century industrial foundations.
And the analysis argues that Germany's counterinvestment is a massive national focus on what it calls symbolic politics and inner German moral choreography. That sounds incredibly abstract, but can we define what that looks like in practice? Where is this energy going?
It's powerful, precisely because it sounds vague, but the effect is so real. Moral choreography means spending vast political capital and legislative time arguing over symbolic issues of national identity, complex social policy refinements, and global moral positioning.
Often detached from practical economic necessity.
Completely detached.
Yeah.
You might spend a year debating a new label requirement for a product's ethical sourcing, which consumes vast institutional bandwidth, instead of spending that year permitting and constructing a critically needed data center to support a national AI strategy.
So while others are spending money on concrete competitive infrastructure.
Yes.
Germany is spending political capital on auditing intentions and perfecting its internal narratives.
Exactly. The source material is very clear on this. Moral certainty and elevated rhetoric, they're not currency in the global economy.
Right.
They don't build bridges, they don't power grids, they don't produce data centers, and they certainly don't fabricate cutting-edge semiconductors. The world is designing the future, and Germany is busy ensuring its intentions are perfectly pure.
Even if the practical result is zero output.
Zero.
And the list of global priorities being neglected here is staggering. It's essentially a roster of the technologies defining the new century.
It is. AI infrastructure, modern robotics, energy grid resilience, defense capabilities, digital sovereignty, all of it.
And that neglect is directly tied back to that regulatory inertia we were talking about.
Of course. I mean, think about digital sovereignty. When German industries hesitate for years to invest heavily in their own hyperscale cloud computing infrastructure because of overly complex data protection and regulatory standards,
they become dependent on foreign providers.
Deeply reliant. And that doesn't just reduce local economic growth. It's a profound national security vulnerability. The slow pace isn't just inconvenient. It has real high-stakes consequences.
This analysis suggests that this moral confidence has created a kind of internal immunity to criticism.
That's a good way to put it.
When you feel morally superior, it's easy to dismiss warnings about economic stagnation as just the complaints of those who lack ethical foresight.
That's the key psychological defense mechanism outlined in the analysis. If you believe you are ethically and morally advanced, you don't have to engage in the difficult, often messy, work of technological and industrial disruption that economic leadership demands.
You can just look down on those who are moving faster.
Exactly.
So if regulation is the symptom, we need to know the root cause.
Yeah.
This brings us to what is maybe the most provocative claim in the entire analysis.
I think it is.
The source material claims Germany's biggest enemy is not external competition or demographic decline or populism. Its biggest enemy is simply comfort.
This is the essential insight. Decades of truly spectacular post-war wealth created this deep, powerful illusion that prosperity is a natural, guaranteed state.
Like the weather.
Exactly. Like the weather. They internalized the idea that the export miracle was automatic. They forgot that prosperity is, in reality, a fragile, hard-won result of relentless competitiveness, continuous risk-taking, and a brutal, unflinching self-honesty about performance.
And comfort systematically erodes all three of those things.
It does.
So this comfort then translates into institutional sluggishness. What does that look like?
It means institutions, from large corporations to government agencies, behave as if industrial dominance is permanent.
It's just a given.
It's a given. They tolerate high costs. They resist aggressive digitization because the old analog ways still technically work. And they fail to aggressively encourage a dynamic startup ecosystem because, well, why disrupt the established, comfortable players?
So they've swapped a culture of innovation for a culture of preservation.
That's it perfectly. Yeah. They're acting like the global market will just wait patiently for them to finish their internal housekeeping.
But the global market doesn't wait. And the analysis suggests the shift in international perception is the clearest evidence that this comfort has become decay.
It's undeniable.
What was the global perception of Germany a generation ago?
Oh, it was awe and aspiration. People would say, look at Germany, precision, reliability, engineering excellence.
Gold standard.
They're the gold standard we must emulate. And that created enormous diplomatic and economic leverage.
But today, according to the sources, that leverage is, well, It's gone.
Gone.
The world is looking at Germany and asking, quite simply, what happened?
And the truly painful diagnosis is the shift in global aspiration. The question for emerging economies is no longer, how can we achieve the German benchmark of precision?
No.
The global question is rapidly becoming, how can we avoid the German fate of slowing down to a crawl due to self-imposed regulatory strangulation? That signals a fundamental collapse in its international standing as a desirable model.
Okay, so if the problem is clear stagnation driven by comfort, inertia, and misplaced priorities, let's talk about the way out. Because the source material is quick to point out that Germany does not lack fundamental material resources.
Absolutely right. The core problem is not one of capital or talent.
No.
Germany possesses immense private capital, world-class research institutions, highly skilled talent, and profound industrial know-how. The deficit is not material. The deficit is courage.
And the analysis defines this not as military courage, but as the political and national courage required to break with its own deeply cherished myths.
Those are the myths that allow the retired champion to keep watching the old highlight reels instead of training.
Yes. So what are those myths?
Well, breaking them requires admitting some exceptionally blunt, painful truths. The first is admitting that the old success models, you know, built on cheap Russian gas and exporting diesel cars, they simply no longer guarantee prosperity.
And the second difficult truth.
That regulatory overreach is a self-inflicted wound, and it's killing necessary speed and execution. They have to admit that prioritizing regulatory perfection over competitive innovation has been catastrophic.
Wow.
They have to recognize that technological leadership is being lost in real time to competitors who operate five times faster.
And finally, that moral certainty cannot substitute for economic or technological reality.
You can't just wish the global economy to slow down to match your comfortable pace.
It won't happen.
Never. The analysis stresses that real transformation is inherently painful. You're asking people to sacrifice established processes, dismantle comfortable bureaucracy, and embrace risk. Germany has been trying to execute a transformation without pain, without sacrificing that beloved comfort.
And the sources say plainly, history shows it simply never works. Change demands disruption.
It has to.
Which brings us to the final ultimatum, the blunt truth presented by this analysis.
Yeah.
You cannot regulate your way, you cannot moralize your way, and you certainly cannot commemorate your way into the future. The trophy cabinet alone is not enough.
The only viable path forward requires a brutal national self-assessment and a fundamental rediscovery of the competitive spirit that built the country in the first place.
A path that requires rediscovering speed over perfection.
Experimentation over control.
Technology over symbolism. And crucially, transforming comfort back into courage.
Germany's future choice, as defined in this source material, is stark. Either the nation embraces these painful values, re-engages with the brutal efficiency of the global competitive landscape, or it continues its slow, well-organized slide.
And this is the difference between remaining a global benchmark and becoming what the analysis chillingly terms a well-organized museum of past success.
Which leaves an important final question for you, the listener. If this is the diagnosis for Germany, what parallels might you see in other mature Western economies grappling with the accelerating pace of global change? And where might their hidden comfort traps currently be lying dormant?